I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Tuesday to you, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
That's all that really matters. And we come to you live for the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Millions of Americans finance the home of their dreams with their help. They can help you too. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. Thanks for being with us. It's a Trash Tuesday. We want to know who you're trashing, what you're trashing. So hit us up with who's aggravating, who's bugging you by hitting us up on the phones at 855-212-4227, 855-212-4CBS, or on Twitter. Hit me up, DA on CBS. Last night in Seattle, the Seahawks get a win by outlasting the Minnesota Vikings. And I have to say, nothing last night really surprised me except for the Vikings making a valiant comeback at the end of the game. But it still leaves you, if you're a Vikings fan, with the yeah, but. For Seattle, home crowd, built up a big lead, 17-point advantage in the second half. You're figuring we'll close it out pretty easily here. And the Seahawks defense giving up those back-to-back touchdown drives with Kirk Cousins pulling the trigger and a broken coverage touchdown as well on the big 58-yarder gives you pause for whether the Seahawks are really true Super Bowl contenders in a stacked NFC. Personally, I believe the New Orleans Saints are the best team in the NFC. Subject to change, but right now, the Saints have a solid defense. Depth everywhere, great ground game, Hall of Fame quarterback, coach that's been there before, and could have home field advantage inside the Superdome for two games. I love that mix to get to a Super Bowl. For the Seahawks, Russell Wilson is Russell Wilson, and their two running backs were very effective last night. And Penny and Carson have been a very good 1-2 punch all season long. But is their defense going to be good enough when it matters against really good teams? The NFC is going to have at least four really good teams. Seahawks, Niners, Saints, Packers. Now, I think the Seahawks in the driver's seat right now in the division is huge. Because between the Niners and the Seahawks, think about it. You could either be a 1 or a 2 seed and get a bye and have a home game in your dome or in your stadium in the divisional round, or you could be a wild card team having to go on the road 3 times. Huge disparity there. Absolutely enormous disparity for either the Seahawks or the Niners. So right now the Seahawks have the head-to-head advantage. Having beaten them once, they'll play again coming up here last weekend of the season. And that could dictate, that could define whether they are a 1 seed or a 5 seed. And let me tell you, there is a chasm between those two things. Going on the road for 3 weeks or staying at home and getting 2 home games. From the Viking standpoint, I was pleasantly surprised that down 17, that the Vikings didn't give up and that Cousins led 2 scoring drives, brought them to within 4 points, and had the defense just gotten a stop, instead of the first down of that final drive, Vikings would have had two different chances to try to go down the field down four. They only had one chance, and that drive started out great with a little slant to Kyle Rudolph, but ends up with an incomplete pass on basically the hardest throw to try to complete for a first down, which I don't really agree on the decision there by Kirk Cousins to try to thread that needle, outstretched arms of his receiver with great coverage, falling away from the line of scrimmage. I just don't like that decision by Kirk. But okay, Cousins played at times really well in a hostile environment against a good team. That's good. But then the Vikings also have Xavier Rhodes, who is fighting with Anthony Barr and aggressively talking to coaches on the sideline after what is so obviously a blown coverage, busted coverage. And remember, not only is Xavier Rhodes one of the most disappointing players of the defense this year, but a couple of years ago, remember when Mike Zimmer's defensive backs decided not to run his defense against the Packers? For some reason, the DBs just said, no, we're not going to do that. I don't know what's going on with the Vikings and whether they believe in Zimmer, whether they don't believe in Zimmer, whether there's hostile emotions behind the scenes, whether there is some trust, no trust, but the Vikings feel like a really good team or a good team that's going to end up losing in the first round of the playoffs, don't they? They just feel like they're the road team going to Dallas, or they are the road team going to Lambeau and losing. That's just the way that it feels right now. And that's hard to even say that you could imagine the Cowboys winning a playoff game, but it does feel that way, that the Vikings are a good team, but will end up making the playoffs and beating one and done. And that injury to Dalvin Cook deserves a lot of attention. Now, we just played the baby race from Smoothie King Center, Smoothie King Arena in New Orleans, where over the weekend you had two sets of parents, you had a finish line and a starting line, and babies were racing to their other parent, and whoever baby got there first won a $250 gift card to the team shop at an autographed Pelicans jersey. Now, Mraz, I don't know about you, but I look at this and I see babies and I see parents. I see a crowd that's really into it. I see other terrible halftime entertainment all across the league, T-shirt guns and hot dog guns, and put on these big shorts and try to dunk a basketball or hit a layup, or, you know, it's all so lame. And here's a baby race and the crowd's actually into it. I thought it was a really great entertainment option.
I think this goes right up there with the woman who could put a million pots and pans on her head.
She's amazing.
She's fascinating. And that's, you want people screaming and yelling entertainment. And I think the gift is great, too. If I could have my baby crawl for a Spencer Dinwiddie jersey, I'm all about it.
I agree. And I usually see eye to eye with Pete the Body Bilotti. I look at him across the glass every day and I say, that's my voice of reason. That's my professional rock. And yet, Pete, I wanted to agree with you because you were melting down about this. I wanted to agree, and I just can't. I think it's an amazing halftime entertainment. What problem did you have?
No, because now all of a sudden babies are props for stupid merchandise that we sell, that we're giving away $250 of Pelican merchandise. I mean, come on.
What else are babies good for? They're just babies.
Now they're props for entertainment. So for my personal entertainment, they're babies. Have a little self-respect. Have a little respect for yourself and have respect for the baby.
You're saying the parents don't have respect for themselves,
no,
or the baby?
Not at all. Now all of a sudden it's about being entertained. We've got to be entertained by our children, not educate our children. So now we're going to have them crawl across the court at the Smoothie Center for no damn reason whatsoever, just because someone in marketing thought it was great.
Well, there is a reason they could win a gift card.
Yeah, stupid gift card for the Pelicans team shop. How many people buy $250 worth of NBA merchandise in one shot? How many people do that? Nobody?
Well, you say instead of education, what are they supposed to be teaching their babies in that 6 minutes during halftime of an NBA game?
How about basketball or maybe feed them.
They're babies.
Or maybe feed them after during halftime.
What are you teaching babies about basketball?
Well, why does it always have to be a thing? Why can't babies just be babies?
Why do you have a problem with the baby race?
Because there's one baby on the court crying. The baby was crying as it was crossing over into whatever they were doing.
You think it's...
Ridiculous. I think it's totally ridiculous.
You don't think the babies are happy?
They're not happy at all. They don't know where they are.
I saw one baby hug the other baby.
Oh, come on. That's because they were trying to find someone of their kind.
So you think it's disorienting for the baby?
It's ridiculous. Now they're props all of a sudden. Now, oh, I want to be entertained. Let's just have them crawl across a basketball court. I mean, do we have any self-respect? Do we have any pride in what we do anymore? We have no pride in anything we do. Everything has to be a thing so we can get on Instagram and on social media and on Twitter. I mean, enough.
Well, when we go over to the block party next year, will you be watching Taylor Merez crawl through the lawn?
Yeah, because it's not like it's a natural thing. It's not like a...
Okay, if we raced Taylor Merez against one of the other babies of the neighborhood, you wouldn't watch that.
I wouldn't watch that at all. I think that's ridiculous. Come on.
So it's about the competition.
It's not about the competition. It's about just let them grow up, please. Can we let them grow up? It has to be something all the time. It has to be something with everything. You can't just have kids grow up and be themselves and watch Sesame Street. We can't have that anymore. Now we got to have them have stupid races just because we have nothing to entertain anybody with at halftime anymore. We have to constantly be entertained. Why can't we just go to concession stand and enjoy the concession stand and eat and go to the bathroom? Now we have to have every minute of time during halftime occupied by something. Enough.
So you would prefer to just be in the bathroom line instead of watching a baby race?
It would take the whole halftime.
Didn't you think, though, that the twists and turns of the baby race were interesting, that one baby nearly got to the finish line? Then the baby turned around and the baby hugged the other baby?
Not at all. I was waiting for it to end just for the sake of the babies.
Merez, has Bilotti swayed your take on the baby race?
He still hasn't swayed me. I do think he has valid points that everything's got to be a thing. And as far as the babies, I guess, embrace each other, they're just looking for somebody of their own kind. I think he checks some of those markers. That being said, I am fascinated. I will, if everybody wants to gamble, my baby versus another baby in a crawl race, let's throw some money down and let's have some fun. I think it's a great block party activity. And I think the baby, if that baby grows up to be something, like that, if Autumn Fall comes back.
Autumn Breeze.
The Autumn Wind's a pirate.
If the Autumn Wind's a raider.
If Autumn Breeze grows up to be, let's just say she grows up to be a great, she's Marion Jones. She's running the Olympics.
She's Marion Jones.
Okay.
Okay, she's Allison
That's
Felix.
Happen. We are going to look back at that highlight for years to come. They will play, Costas will be talking over it as we break down the Olympics, going, it all started here at the Smoothie King Center.
Kind of like Tiger Woods on the Tonight Show.
Right, and maybe this
Putting
motivates
as a 5-year-old.
Her parents show this in junior high and high school. Look how fast you were compared to these other babies. You were ahead of your time. I think that's really good, and I think it's really supporting competition. How many times, by the way, participation trophies are such a big thing with children and kids and little leaguers. Smoothie King Center, there was no participation trophies. They were out there to win a Drew Holiday jersey. And inspiring these kids that it's about winning early.
Win or lose.
I think that's fascinating. I think the only problem you might have with it is still a dirty basketball floor, and these kids, when you're so worried about the whooping cough shot, which I've been told they have to get, now suddenly they could just walk where, you know, Zion's Nikes were. It's crazy.
Winners win, losers crawl. That's what they were teaching these babies.
Yes.
And, look, I think that basketball floor, if you want to get into the hygiene of it, I would have listened to that argument here, Pete. Because the hygiene of a normal basketball floor has a lot of dust and a lot of dirt, and you put babies on it. But in this case, it's an NBA floor, which I think they're wearing clean sneakers, new sneakers out of the box, and immediately wiped down like every 5 seconds.
Well, yeah, that's just common sense. I mean, you don't want your babies crawling all over the floor. I mean, just a natural.
Well, that's where
floor.
Babies crawl.
Well, no, like a concrete floor outside. You wouldn't want them doing that, right?
No, but babies do crawl on floors all the time.
And we talk about the success story that could come of this baby crawling in this stupid contest.
Allison Felix.
Well, how about the opposite, which usually it ends up being where the baby resents the parent for what has happened?
Okay, so you think that Autumn Breeze could resent her parents for pushing her too hard in athletics.
Why did you make me do that when I was 2 years old or 1 year old?
No. This is reminiscent of Ariana Grande being in the Florida Panthers Zamboni, and then she grows up to be Ariana Grande. Autumn Breeze becomes something. And we're going to look back, oh, is her name really Autumn Breeze? Oh, she was the girl in the baby race?
Her name is Autumn Breeze.
It's all set up. She's going to be a sensation. I would put money on that right now. I have more confidence Autumn Breeze is successful in life than the Giants are with the next head coach.
When we come back here on the show, we've got your best audio of the day, and that includes Doug Peterson taking his licks on losing to the Dolphins. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. We count down the 12 DAs of Christmas. Here's a moment that got stuck in the chimney.
It's a mascot. It's just a costume. It's there to be hit, to be punched, to be brutally attacked. It's there to be a punchline. What's more entertaining? Pat Pagey going, doop-a-doop-a-doop-a-doop. I can't talk. I've got big eyes. I win Super Bowls. Boop, 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 boop. Or is it, here comes an all-pro safety coming to knock me down in front of kids? B is way better. That was when Jamal Adams, I think, knocked down Pat Patriot before the season. It became a big thing. Maybe at the Pro Bowl, I think. Sunday in NFL, CBS doubleheader. First, Baltimore's MVP candidate, Lamar Jackson, takes his show on the road to Buffalo, followed by a rematch of last year's AFC Championship game. The Patriots welcome the Chiefs. It all starts with the NFL today. Noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, only on CBS.
CBS Spectacular, yeah!
Bob tweets, I just watched the baby race. It was awesome. I need more of this. Steven tweets, I'm trashing parents who haven't taught their babies anything about basketball. Art Bobart tweets, the only thing Autumn Breeze is going to be successful at is smoking cigs and slamming Bud Lights. Name your children better. It impacts their lives like no other thing can. Like no other thing? I mean, I think there's a few things that are worse than naming your kid improperly. Cousin Wisco tweets, I jumped into the middle of this rant and I thought I was listening to Mraz Meltdown, ranting, only to find out it was Pete the Body. Pete, I'm in total agreement with you. Don't make the kids props. Hashtag, valid point.
Oh, valid point.
Your $250 richer to our Pelicans. Team staff also going home with the autographed Drew Holiday jersey. Autumn, congratulations. Let's have your moment. Do you have anything to say, Autumn? Say hey.
Well, she's a baby. Marty Moose Knuckle tweets, I hope all these babies got a precipitation trophy. Lonnie tweets, this baby race segment has me crying. I'm laughing so hard, coworkers think I've lost it. One looked like he thought that I had gone crazy. Thank you, Mothership. Best work day ever. Hashtag, can I get a BMO? Dixieland Dan tweets, back me up, Bogish. Babies are a walking, talking germ as it is. A little dirt ain't going to hurt them. It's actually a good thing they're crawling on that floor. It'll make their immune system stronger, encountering all those nasty New Orleans germs. By the way, one thing that we have failed to mention, 10 babies racing at halftime is better than actually watching the Pelicans right now. Ed tweets, Mraz is going to be pimping out his kid for free swag like Peter Schwartz one day. You better not be a hypocrite on this, Mraz.
No, it's not pimping them out for free swag. I'm putting my kids in competition. He's not putting his kids in competition. He's making his kids on Twitter ask for free Wendy's. Way different.
If I see you driving an hour and a half for free pizza, DA, I'm going to call you out.
DA, I think we know now that I would not ever do that. I could never be a hypocrite that way. No way. But if I'm at an arena and they tap me on the shoulder and they say, hey, baby race. You want that Drew Holiday jersey? I'm looking at Taylor saying, bring your A game, kid. Let's go.
Bring your A game, kid. Daddy needs a Drew Holiday jersey. Let's get to your best audio of the day.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Carmelo Anthony just won the Western Conference Player of the Week Award.
I don't think he was treated the right way, how they left him out there being a future Hall of Famer. As you can see, he's still running up and down the floor, so he's still got a lot of basketball left. I mean, it's just going to be a fun matchup for us, another competitive game.
That's Kawhi Leonard stringing together more words and syllables in a sentence than perhaps ever before. Talk about Carmelo Anthony. How amazing is this? The Blazers went 3-0 with him. They beat the Bulls twice. Eh. But they also beat the Thunder. Eh. But Carmelo averaged 22-8-3 in those three games. 22 points, 8 rebounds, and 3 assists. The last time he won a Player of the Week award was 2014 while with the Knicks. I love it. I love the story. I thought he was washed. I thought it was over. I thought it was sad. And yet here is Carmelo balling, and I think it's a great redemption story. Doug Peterson on WIP Sports Radio in Philadelphia with Angelo Cataldi and the morning team talking about the Dolphins embarrassingly beating the Eagles.
I give them a lot of respect. This is the National Football League. They played harder than we did, and that's why I said that I'm disappointed because of that. They wanted this one a little bit more than we did, and they made the plays, and we didn't. We were an undisciplined football team that cost us in multiple situations that, quite frankly, are unacceptable by me.
Well, Doug Peterson has nobody to blame but himself here, because while they've had injuries and he can't actually throw or catch or tackle, the Eagles have definitely had a Super Bowl hangover from the time that they won that championship 2 years ago. It has happened for these last 2 years, and this year is a disgrace. And the fact that the Dolphins were playing harder than his Eagles when his Eagles knew they had a chance to pull into the lead for the division, they knew it because the Cowboys had already lost on Thursday, is a travesty mockery. Okay? It's a joke. And the fact is, Doug Peterson couldn't wait to go on his book tour as soon as they won a Super Bowl. And they built a statue to this guy, and he couldn't wait to immortalize his moment and his place in Philadelphia sports history. And what he forgot was he's got another season to coach. And this is where Bill Belichick has it right. The moment they win a Super Bowl, it's no days off. We have to get ready for next season. And it has felt like the Eagles have been on a 2-year bender since winning their Super Bowl.
How many beers ago? Probably 1,000.
Knowing the division, you can slide into the lead, knowing the Cowboys had lost, and all you have to do is go to Miami and beat the hapless Dolphins. The fact that they played harder than you? I'm sorry, Doug, you're losing me. Aren't you supposed to be the offensive guy? What happened to Carson Wentz? I'm sorry, Doug, you're losing me. And finally, we love Paul Allen around here, the great PA. He is the voice of the Minnesota Vikings, and nobody has more emotion and passion in their game calls than Paul Allen. Here's how it sounded last night.
Here's Jason Myers, and boom. Come on, mishit it. It's a squib. Hey, let's see what happens. C.J. Ham picks it up at the 15. Let's go Cal Stanford. 25-30, C.J. Dropped the ball. Cool. Right on. And I think Seattle recovered it. Oh, what a perfect ending to a freaking miserable night in the Cappuccino Capital. Yeah, Seattle ball. That's the game. Good Lord.
Oh, cool. He dropped it. Paul Allen's the best. I've always said this. I consider him one of the best local radio hosts in America. He hosts middays on KFAN in the Twin Cities. I think he's absolutely hysterical. I think his play-by-play is next-level good for the NFL on radio. And I just think the world of PA. He also does horse racing. He is so good at so many things. Bogish, I think you need to now use this in your repertoire. openly root and get upset and make fun of the team if they make a mistake or they lose?
I can't. I refuse.
Why?
I can't. And I love Paul as much as you. I worked with him at Sirius a really long time ago. One of the best guys ever. I don't think you can be like that.
What do you mean?
You can't do that. You can't be angry at CJ Ham for fumbling and ruining your night.
CJ? I dropped the ball.
Cool. I know you're the voice of the Vikings.
Cool.
But
right
you're
on.
About to get back on the team plane and get a team meal and fly all the way back to Minnesota with the Vikings. You can't be mad at CJ Ham like
he
that.
He don't care.
I know he doesn't.
He doesn't care.
I wish I didn't care like he didn't care, but you can't do that.
Well, here's why he doesn't care. He knows he's been around longer and will be around even longer than CJ Ham.
No, I know. And Mike Zimmer and Kirk Cousins and every other Viking fan is doing the same exact thing.
Paul Allen's been the voice of the Vikings since, like, what, the mid-90s, I think? So,
but everything he just did in that call goes against every single thing I was ever taught at Fordham by some of the legends of broadcasting.
Well, you know, it's never too old
to
learn.
You think Marty Glickman ever got mad at Frank Gifford for messing up a Giants game in 1950?
It's never too old to learn new tricks.
You think Vin Scully ever cursed at Sandy Koufax?
I've learned this many times. You're playing to your audience.
Yeah, Bob Papa's getting angry on Giant broadcast. That, I will give you that.
That is how Vikings fans felt. Listening to that. He's speaking to the Vikings fan. Am I right, Mraz?
I think you're spot on. And he's also showing he could be funny while being angry when he calls it the cappuccino capital of the world. Like, that's a good line to let you know it's okay to laugh, guys.
And I love sarcasm. Like, good, great, he dropped it. Like, it's a great line.
Cool is the best line.
But I'd prefer if he was the color guy doing that and somebody was giving you more of a straight broadcast at the actual play-by-play.
Can we play this one more time? This final call is so good from Paul Allen last night, voice of the Vikings.
Here's Jason Myers, and boom. Come on, miss hit it. It's a squib. Hey, let's see what happens. CJ Ham picks it up at the 15. Let's go Cal Stanford. 25-30, CJ. Dropped the ball. Cool. Right on. And I think Seattle recovered it. Oh, what a perfect ending to a freaking miserable night in the cappuccino capital.
Optimistic at the
beginning. Seattle ball, that's the game.
Good Lord. Excited about what might happen, and then CJ Ham ruins it.
The crash of emotions from Paul Allen.
Let's do Cal Stanford.
Cool, let's squib this. Let's get the ball back. All right, really cool. Short kick. Cal Stanford, here we go. Most historic play of all time. Here we go. Oh, cool, he dropped it. Awesome.
CJ, dropped the ball. Cool. Right on.
Great.
And awesome. Caps it all for the good Lord.
Sucks. That's a terrible, miserable night. Good Lord.
Good Lord.
He goes from so hopeful to just miserable.
He's
good.
Praying for Jason Myers' foot to fall off as he approaches that kick. And then he's screwing CJ Ham. My goodness.
Oh, what a perfect ending to a freaking miserable night in the cappuccino capital.
The bottom line is, you get Paul Allen up 17-10 at halftime in Seattle on Monday Night Football, you better win.
Oh, man.
Good Lord.
Oh, Paul Allen's the best. He is the absolute best. When we had him on Radio Row from Minnesota to the Super Bowl, it was a career highlight. I love that guy. When we come back here on the show, we've got your cut line, the story that did not make the cut, and Nick Foles is out of a job again. Also, we've got your Trash Tuesdays, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah, you like that big boy?
Damon Amendolara came up to me and said, do you mind if we go out together on your boat? I would love that. I love the water.
Doesn't strike me as an outdoorsman.
I turn around and I hear, oh no.
Did he catch something?
Well, it looked like he caught something.
Yeah.
And I looked over and he did catch something.
What did he catch?
My engine is what he caught. I don't know what's going on here, but I think I've got the pole stuck on the prop.
D.A. lost at sea.
D.A. on CBS Sports Radio.
A new spinoff, perhaps? Now we're toll-free line, brought to you by GEICO every single day. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switching to GEICO, geico.com. 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Let me give you an update on the fan vote of the 12 D.A.s of Christmas. This was from Facebook. We have our poll going on there. Rank your own 12 D.A.s of Christmas. We've added an extra three as well. So the first three out, according to the D'Aliens on Facebook, would be my imitation of the young Yankee fan that we played earlier today. It doesn't happen! Also, Jacob Wilkins looking dead like Bernie Lomax, Extreme Jakeover Edition. and Mraz crop dusting Ice Cube. Those are the first three out for the DA show listeners. From there, your bottom of the top 12, me and Mraz arguing over dog owners. Mraz unable to say the word amicably. The old Patriots fan that yells, "How could it happen?" And Hurricane and Hurricane Jen calling in from the barnyard. That's the back end of the top 12, according to the D'Aliens on Facebook.
I was really drunk, and I appreciate that.
Then we get to the middle of the order. Me exploding over the criticisms of my work schedule by telling Mraz that's DA money that bought that house for Mraz, Mraz's house. Death by Salsa by me and Bogish in the Easter Bunny costume. Mraz hating Tom Brady's family after Giselle did not travel for the AFC title game. And Bogish at the plate. Your top four right now are all neck and neck. You can barely separate them. The top four, according to the listeners on Facebook, Mraz smashing his finger in the door at number four.
The door just totally smashed my finger as I went to get the DA sign.
Number three, Mraz's Pat Shurmur rant. My ass! My fat ass!
My ass! My fat ass!
Number two, where does the salt go? And number one, according to the D'Aliens on Facebook, do bears have tails? That's your top four. That's your 1 through 12 and first three out, according to the D'Aliens on Facebook. Now, the vote on Twitter is a little bit different. I'll unveil some of those stats tomorrow on the show as we count down to number 12, but we are incorporating the fan vote into the 12 DAs this year. So make sure you go to Facebook, facebook.com/TheDAShow, and rank your top 12 and vote in the polls on Twitter, DA on CBS. Mraz also retweeted them, and we are continuing to take your ballots, stuff the ballot box. It's kind of like a Chicago election. Vote early and often. And we will incorporate them into the final rankings.
What a grizzly biz.
Biz.
So they have tails.
Also, at some point in time this month, towards the end of the month, Bilotti will unveil his brand new edition of The Year of the Buffoon, the montage of Mraz's most idiotic things said on the show this year. Last year was year number one. It can only get better. I've heard some of it. And I could not stop laughing yesterday afternoon in the newsroom. It's brilliant.
You probably don't have enough beyond the 12 DAs.
Oh, yes. We're already at 6 minutes.
All right. Let's get to your stories that did not make the cut. It is time for your cut line.
These stories were left out by the selection committee. Cut from their high school team. The news that didn't make the show. It's the cut line.
In Jacksonville, they are going back to Gardner Minshew as Nick Foles had one of the worst days ever on Sunday as quarterback of the Jaguars. His first three drives were two fumbles and an interception, so three turnovers. His next three drives were three and outs. His first six drives, three turnovers and three and outs. And so now Nick Foles has lost his starting job in Jacksonville after signing a monster contract in the offseason, losing most of the season to the clavicle injury, and is owed $30 million by the Jags next year. What do the Jags do? If they could get out from underneath that Foles contract, they would right now. They would say, thanks, but no thanks. We don't want to pay this money anymore. But I don't know if they can. I doubt they can. I mean, there's some bad quarterbacks out there, but does anybody want Nick Foles on $30 million next season? Their best bet is to find an Eagles trade option where maybe the Eagles, worried about Carson Wentz, say, well, we'd like Nick Foles back on the roster, and the Jaguars have to eat part of the $30 million, but not all of the $30 million. Because right now, Minshew won the job back. Minshew's a better quarterback. He's a better option for that offense. And you really have to wonder if Nick Foles was only good in Philadelphia and will never be good anywhere else ever.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
All right, more trash is here on the DA show on a Trash Tuesday. DG tweets, I want to trash the baby race announcer girl. If I had to listen to that voice every day, I don't know what I'd do. Get her out. Hashtag Team Bilotti.
Hot trash.
I disagree. I think that MC announcer was phenomenal. She gave us the play-by-play. She added some personality. She told us who won. She added some emotion and drama. I loved it. Chuck tweet.
All right, parents, make sure behind the start line. Parents, make sure you're behind the start line.
Chuck tweets, I'm trashing some TV sports director in Nashville who thinks my beloved Titans can't run the table and win the AFC South.
Must be Trash Tuesday.
Steven tweets, I'm trashing modern refrigerator manufacturers. The fridge in my kitchen died over Thanksgiving weekend and it's less than 10 years old. I have a freezer in my garage that was made during the Eisenhower administration and that thing's still humming. How could it happen?
Epic trash job.
Telling you. If you have a piece of home equipment, some appliance from the 50s, you know that thing is still running. It's good. You got something from the 2000s, forget it. Get it out. It's probably got a smart sensor. It probably sees your face through the window. It probably tells you the temperature in Afghanistan. But forget it if you want it to work for more than 5 years. Oh, yeah, Alexa controls it, but it breaks after three. Brandon tweets, I bet Jason Garrett would clap for the baby who came in last.
Someone just got trashed.
The clapper.
Scalfi tweets, I'm trashing the Monday night crew. Booger and Tess need to go. Send them to the Tuesday night Mac game.
Trash Tuesday is fun for everyone.
Trevor in Bomb City is trashing will it be OU or Utah conversations. Baylor has points that could get them in over Utah if they win the Big 12.
Boom. Trashed.
Let's get to your epic fail of the morning, boys and girls. Mraz's trash this morning. The realism of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
Hermie wants to be a dentist, and that's all fine. And Danny, he never really goes to dentist school. By the time he pleases his father or leader of the elves, he tells him he can open up a shop next week, in which Hermie replies, let me look in your mouth.
Well, sir, someday I'd like to be a dentist.
I'm setting you up for an appointment, week from Tuesday at 4:30. Hermie, you haven't even became construction on your office yet.
We need one up here. I've been studying. It's fascinating. You've no idea.
And last and not but not least, Rudolph leads that stupid sleigh and through the storm, and the first stop they want to make is that island of misfit toys.
We're a couple of misfits. We're a couple of misfits.
Santa pulls in. He basically stops for 30 seconds, says, jump in, toys. They all jump in the bag. How do we know there wasn't some kind of other toy sitting there sleeping through the night that Miss Santa stopped by? Now he's left alone, deserted that island. Can I get them knocking on doors to make sure all the toys are awake in their homes? What a stupid premise that was. Santa left, all the toys jumped out. Oh, one more thing. Santa's skinny on Christmas Eve, and she says, eat, Santa, eat, Mrs. Claus does. And guess what? Guess what? Santa goes, all right, I'll eat a little. Then he shows up 12 hours later. Suddenly the guy's 400 pounds. What did he eat? How many pork loins did he stuff down his gullet in the middle of a storm where he couldn't get any food?
No, that's my Santa.
Then he exploded with that fat. Make it realistic, please.
So you want the story about the flying reindeer to be more realistic.
That silly elf song is driving me crazy.
I mean, flying reindeer is not your bone of contention. Talking elves, want to be a dentist, that's fine. It's the construction schedule of the said dentist shop that bothers you.
Epic fail, you loser.
That
is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Dixie Landan tweets, that lady had more energy calling a freaking baby race than Jacob Wilkins had during his whole entire tenure as the announcer of the Binghamton Rumble Ponies. Give me that lady over Jacob Wilkins and Joe Buck.
It's not. That's not false.
That's not right. Jeff tweets, upon seeing the Pelican baby do the fire hydrant move, Ole Miss immediately offered that kid a football scholarship for the 2036 signing class. Brandon tweets, I'm trashing Jason Garrett. Maybe next season he can clap when the Cowboys actually win the Super Bowl.
You've been trashed.
Yeah, when he's not the coach anymore. AZ and Wisco, I'm trashing the J-E-T-S for getting thumped by the Bengals. What's the over for Bengals this year? Wins? 1.5?
Taking out the trash.
That's your Trash Tuesday edition of the DA Show. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer. Thanks to Pete the Body Bilotti on the wheels of steel. Thanks to Andrew Kaplan, your wizard of watch DA on the simulcast. And thanks to Andrew Bogish on your headlines. We're back tomorrow. Champ Chump, Chad Brown, and another 12 DA of Christmas just left out. The Mothership Disconnect.
Eat, Santa, eat!
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.